I'm so humbled, really, to serve. I'm hoping that each of you, as we grow Northgate, that you too just feel urged and led to humbly serve. Our example is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are children of God, and we call ourselves by Christ's name. And so it is by his name that we will do any good thing, any lasting thing, any wonderful thing of God. It is by his name, by his power, by his grace, by his mercy.
Amen.
Let's just have a word of prayer. God, we just thank you for this another day.
Yes.
We give you praise and honor and glory. You are above all. You are all in all. You are everything. And I just pray now that you would minister to Northgate and edify all of us, your saints, your children. We thank you, Lord God, for blessing us in that way. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to begin today with the time that I have by opening our Bibles to Mark. And I just want to say, really, that I have been blessed by our worship today. Each and every time I come to Northgate, I feel blessed. God has a purpose for Northgate, as he has for all of us. And I just from the moment that I walk in the door, to this time now, I'm just totally filled with the awesomeness of the Lord our God. He is good. He is good. And so I'm going to ask us all to turn to the fourth chapter of Mark. And there, Mark the fourth chapter. Mark is kind of unique in the Gospels in that he talks to us, tells us about Christ's ministry, Jesus' ministry, as he walked, and gives us plenty of Christ's message to mankind, his ministry, his purpose, and really his plan is also in Mark as it is in the rest of the Gospels. And if I can borrow a page, I guess, from my secular work life, I would just give you the bottom line up front, as we like to say on some of our presentations. You know, because some folks, they tune out after the first couple of minutes. Or you got executive types that need to leave before you get through all of your pages in the slide deck. And so we have this bluff thing now, this bottom line up front. And so in the fourth chapter of Mark, we're really talking about God's plan. And he's revealing to the disciples and all that are listening, I'm doing a new thing. And this is what it looks like. I'm taking you from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And this is what it looks like. Amen?
Amen.
And so as we work through the fourth chapter, he starts in with the parable of the sower. And of course, I'm not going to read all these scriptures here, but you know, we start with the seed that has fallen by the wayside. And then he moves on to the seed that falls on stony ground. we're talking about the kingdom. And then he talks about the seed that fell among the thorns. And then lastly, he talks about seed that fell on good ground. And of course, the disciples, they want to know, really, what are you talking about? Why are you revealing to us these parables at all, really? But certainly in this story, they ask him, and he says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And then, again, in line with our bottom line up front, he says in verse 12, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. If you run roughshod through that verse, you somehow don't really get the message that if you were to at any time hear, if you would at any time receive what it is that Christ is sharing, you will be converted. If you have not experienced or felt the change or heard the word such that it's changing you, you haven't really heard. Because he's saying right here, seeing they may see, hearing they may hear, lest at any time they should be converted. You cannot have an experience with the Word of God and not be changed. I'm going to go on to the parable of the seed, but let's walk through some of these verses here where he explains just what the sower parable should mean to us. Starting in verse 13, he said, "And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word." That's the word of God. Verse 15, "And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." You have some that will come. It says here in the verse, when they have heard. So it's a particular understanding of the word hearing that you ought to know, because really faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So he's talking about folks that have heard the word of God. If we look at it shallowly, we would say that everyone that hears the word is saved, but it's not so. He's saying they have heard the word, but Satan, the enemy, the world, comes and takes it immediately.
Right.
That the word that was sown in their hearts. That's the folks that have that experience, and they may come up front and pray, give their hand in fellowship even. Sown in their hearts, they had an experience, but they let the world take it away. I don't want that for any one of you.
Amen.
I don't want that for my life. That I would ever allow the enemy, Satan, to take away what is not his. It's not his. God gave it.
Amen.
The word of God. It's my job to keep it. He said he will keep me. I don't want the enemy to take it away from me. Then he goes on to say, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it. When they have heard the word, immediately they receive it. So these aren't people that aren't aware. These are people that know. They receive the word, and then it goes on to say, with gladness. Have you ever been there? Glad you have an understanding that Jesus died, that he rose again.
Amen.
For our sakes. Not for his own. Not for son to be separated from the father. Not for a moment to be without that covenant relationship. But he died for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That you receive with gladness, but yet you allow it, your heart, to be stony. And it says this, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward. When affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Persecution, affliction, the things that we see, the things that we go through, some of them, the word tells me, is for the sake of the gospel. And you don't have to believe me. It's right here in verse 17.
Amen.
Okay, it says, affliction or tribulation or persecution ariseth for the word's sake. For the word's sake.
Yeah.
So there's some things we go through simply because it is good for the gospel.
Amen.
It might be good for your neighbor.
Thank you.
Or good for your family.
Amen.
It is for the word's sake.
Amen.
That we know some affliction. That we know some persecution. But it says immediately they are offended. Because they didn't have the room within their heart to let it take root. All the gladness, the happiness, the change you feel that's come. And then as soon as you're afflicted, as soon as you don't get what you want, as soon as someone argues with you or challenges you, or maybe you feel that you don't have it all. None of us will have it all. Not until we see him face to face. To think that you would have it all and be able to meet every challenge. God wants for us to walk with him. He wants to be there. Those of us that have assurance and that know, you know that God is with you. That takes a relationship. That doesn't take intellectually knowing that he's God. That takes having a relationship. I know that my wife is going to be there because I know my wife. And she doesn't have it all. Neither do I. But we have one.
Amen. Amen.
Who has it all. We have one who has it all. And we need not take offense every time something offensive we're faced with. This past week, I've been talking to my daughter. My wife and I, we've both been talking to her. Mina, I'm not going to call her a Republican, I'm going to call her a Christian. Mina, you have to learn that you will not always have exactly what you want.
Amen.
It's not going to happen. And you're crying about it. You're making noise about it. You're complaining. You're being frustrated. You're misbehaving. You disrespecting, you walking away, you falling on the floor. She doesn't do that. But I know some families where that does happen. I know some adults where that happens. But for the sake of the gospel,
amen.
God has already proven himself. It's the reason why we come in and give him praise, life and strength, blessing, mercy and grace, forgiveness. All these things we come and worship him for, clearly. The first time you have a real affliction, you can't give up on God. And that's what we have the tendency to do. And the word is telling us it ought not to be so. If God has sown it in good ground. If you have in fact received God.
Amen.
Not just heard him. Not just had that experience where you're happy and it's a new day. Because you're going to continue to live in the world. Each one of us, we're going to continue to face the foolishness that we see day in and day out. There are going to be times when you have to strive, that you have to walk out your salvation. Let's move on. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things enter in. The lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. The cares of this world. The cares of this world. We had a little of that at today's table, really. You go to work, social event, whatever it is, just your day-to-day walk. He said daily.
Amen.
The deceitfulness. Folks that call good evil and evil good. That's in our Bibles also. That folks would call good evil and evil good. That's deceitfulness. Meant to choke out the word of God in you. I should say, in us. Deceitfulness. The deceitfulness of riches and lusts and other things entering in. You know, this past week, this reading, and you understand that there are so many people, because I don't think that corporations or businesses or enterprises or any of that are people. They are run by people.
Right.
And that for the sake of riches, they are snatching away dignity from the people here in the U.S. Snatching it away. People are without purpose. A lot of people are without job. A lot of people are in positions where they don't even feel encouraged to look for a job. Republicans and Democrats fight over that, by the way. Those numbers, those unemployment numbers. I have, in my own experience, as a person working in industry and business, I have heard upper management in the same breath talk about laying off people and buying a new BMW for Christmas. In the same breath. That's some of what we're facing in America. The deceitfulness, if every man works hard, educates himself, tries very hard, you have a chance. And there are those we will face. That is not true. They have their own point of view. The strong survive, the fittest, survival of the fittest, that type of thing. And you wonder why our pastor would stand and encourage you to be a part of a home group, to be a part of a covenant of people who truly do care about you. People that care about you. Because not everyone you face cares about you. I know we intellectually get that. But see, that's when we get that disappointment and we give up on God, because we're faced with not everyone caring about us.
That's real.
And that's the loss of dignity. Everybody wants to be loved.
Yes.
Nobody wants to go unappreciated. Everybody wants to be the apple of someone's eye. Thank God he has told us.
Amen.
He has shown us. He has proved to us that we are the apple of his eye.
Amen.
Last week, my wife talked about a great big hug. Anytime you need one, anytime you're down on your luck, anytime you've lost hope, seek God. He's right there.
Amen.
And ask him for a great big hug.
Yes.
There is no need to cry, to flounder about, to fall on the floor. It's okay to be hurt. But what will you do when you experience it? Will you go to the lily of the valley? Will you seek the Lord? Will you ask him to heal or to intervene or to step in? Do you trust him or do you fear? Because the world, Satan, the enemy, is trying to take it from you. Seek God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And I guarantee you that God will see about you. He will see about you wherever you are. God will see about you. And see, a lot of folks say, well, it's easy for you to say. No, it's not. I do have that testimony. Walking through those doors, not having cash enough to know how I would do the next day. Not next week. Not a month from now. Not that 3 month savings that they tell you to have. Now it's moved to 9 months. Some folks will tell you 18 months without a blink. You better have it. You better have it. Well, I didn't have it and still don't have it. But I know that God is good.
Amen.
I know that God is great.
Amen.
And I walk, and it's not a feigned smile. And the tears that I cry is not because I'm hurt or sad or down or without hope or worry. I cry because I know that God cares for me.
Amen.
I know it.
Yes.
For myself.
Amen.
I don't need any of you to tell my story for me.
Yeah.
I know that God cares.
Amen.
And that's where I want to see each and every one of us.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what station or what circumstance we're in. It does not. He will walk with us, walk with us through it all.
Amen.
As I tell Mina, you will not always get what you want. But what you get, if you get it from God, is plenty.
Amen.
You just have to look for it.
Amen.
You just have to expect it. You have to believe that it will make the difference.
Amen.
We have to have Christians where the seed is being sown in good ground.
Yes.
And he uses the seed purposely. As we move on in Mark, in this here fourth chapter, we see that he talks about the mustard seed. I know all of us have had hot dogs or whatever, you put mustard on it, what have you. But have you ever seen a mustard seed? A mustard seed is very, very small. It's tiny. By any comparison, it is tiny. And he said, that is like the kingdom. That is like the kingdom of God. He begins his parable, the picture that we should get of the kingdom, by starting with a mustard seed. And he says, the kingdom of God is like this. Verse 30, he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with that comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth.
Hallelujah.
And I remember many years ago, I read this. And of course, we have the word of God that tells us that faith, the size of a mustard seed, is all we need to move mountains. It's all we need. Just this. If I held one up, it would be like this. It would look just like this. And God uses it on purpose. And he says the kingdom of God, which we are all living in, hopefully, we all are living in the kingdom of God. You can go to Romans and you can find those things that you will do where you not have a part of the kingdom of God. But hopefully we are living daily in the kingdom of God. That's part of what this message is. I am showing you, believers, my disciples, those that would hear and would see and be converted. This is the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And he says here, but when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air, the birds of the air, may lodge under the shadow of it. That's the kingdom. It says it grows up. The church, it should grow up.
Amen.
The people of God, we should grow up. Not much different than the message that I gave to Mina. Our Father, who loves us all, he gives every one of us the very same message. Grow up. He's saying it right here. And when it is grown, it is great, with great branches, so that the birds of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. That's why Pastor is saying, be a part of a flock group. You have covering. You have care. You have passion for your needs. You have prayer and intercession for your needs. And yet, we just want the bottom line up front and escape and leave before all the presentation is done. And then, because we have believed, because we know a little something about God, then we want to become fruit inspectors. Yeah. We want to inspect everybody else's walk. And the kingdom of God is about the growth. Plant the seed. Water the seed. Nurture the seed. I'm no farmer, but I know you need water. And sunlight. And at certain hours of the day, because the sun is hot, you need to cover it up and protect. You need to care for. And that is the kingdom of God. The mustard seed becomes the greatest herb because we've cared for it with a heart that is good ground, that is a place where it can be nurtured and fertilized. It responds to the water of God. The water of the word, the washing, the cleansing, the restoration. It responds to. It allows the light of God to shine in upon your life and those places that need addressing. You allow God to address them. No more cognitive dissonance. Big word, but really it means that you have more than one value working And the one that's not working for you at the moment, you let that one go.
Wow.
And all the while, God is saying, I love you. You are my children. I care for you. And I am giving you a word that if you believe, that if you have faith, that if you have let patience have its perfect work, then you will experience the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God, it says in the word, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Righteousness. That doesn't mean doing the right thing all the time, having it right or being right, or fruit inspection. That's not what righteousness is. Righteousness is believing God.
Amen.
Righteousness is believing God. Righteousness is believing God. Thereby, we have the kingdom of God. Last week also, we prayed for families. We had them come forth to pray and intercede and to believe. The proper response to that is to have a heart that is good ground. The proper response to joining in hands, praying, interceding, is to believe God for His promises. Whole chapter in Hebrews dedicated to folks in the Old Testament and the New. The folks in the New are us. All of the other folks have had their day. And God said He counted unto them righteousness because they believed. Can you see the folks laughing at Noah? And that's how folks do to us today. They mock us for being Christians. They mock us for serving a God, believing a God that you cannot see. They mock us. And yet Noah built and planned and believed, knowing the purpose that God had for the ark. Safety. And to continue on generation after generation of people that are called by my name. That is us. We are the remnant today. And we are the kingdom of God today. And I'm just asking each and every one of us, as we build, we will knock down the walls and we will build. And we want people to come and experience the kingdom of God.
Amen.
In all of its glory, in all of its riches, in all of its joy. That's what we want. For folks to find help and safety and shelter. That's who we are. That's who God is, and we are his children. Church, say amen.
Amen.